This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And I'll tell you what, coming up in 10 minutes, I'm going to tell you why October 8th should be on everybody's sports radar. Why it is the date that will have one of the most anticipated games of the calendar year. 10 minutes, we will get to that. Bart Scott, what's happening, brother?
Kuta Matata, man. You said, what did you say? You said it, October 8th.
October 8th.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spicy nugget.
Every sports fan, you're like, nah, you need to be tuning in on October 8th. Like, you need to see. This is a, all of a sudden now, from some of the things that have happened today, that's a date every sports fan needs to circle and say, no, I'm not doing anything that day. I need to be around for this.
Be there at B-Square?
Yeah, something like that. What'd you think of, like, we had a lot going on last night.
I know, man.
This is the busy time of year. I love this time of year.
It was Heartbreak Hotel for New York people, though. You know what I mean?
Heartbreak Hotel for the Rangers.
Yeah.
Because they lost in overtime in a game that they were winning 1-0
for
the majority
of the
game.
2 minutes, man. Come on.
And really could have made it 2-0. They were right there.
Wide open. I mean, Stevie Wonder could. Nick Anderson could have drained that goal.
Why? See, Nick Anderson, like, he's sitting somewhere. He just took a stray. Like, the guy's trying to get over missing free throws in the finals, and you're going to just do that.
They free!
Mm-hmm.
You gotta live with that forever.
No, they tell were you what, foul. Those are foul shots. They weren't free throws.
I've been part of that. Every athlete has been with that moment, like, oh, man, I froze in a moment that could have been a defining moment for me.
Yeah.
And yesterday was a defining moment, man, and the Rangers took one on the chin. And I know collectively the metropolitan area is hurting just a tad.
You got to think about it like this with a series like that, right? Like, there's two ways to look at it, Bart. How would you look at it as an athlete? Do you look at a game like that and say, you know, we were right there, should have won it, so you feel good that, you know, going into game two? Or do you look at it as, that was the one we could have taken. You got to steal a road game. That's the one.
Well, the one.
And now you didn't.
Yeah, as an athlete, if you lose the series, you instantly go back
to
that
game. Yeah.
But if you win, you say, you know what? We knew we can play. We just got to clean some stuff up. And, you know, the Boston Celtics are going through that same exercise.
Yes.
Like, man, you know what? We just got one quarter. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, man, one opportunity. We let our guard down. We laxed up with 2 minutes to go. So you have teams. Every team that lost game one, Luka's going through the same thing right now. Like, okay, listen, I got to figure out how I'm being attacked. Because that's the tough part. Like, the tough part is where Luka is. The tough part is figuring out who the hell is they coming off to double me on. And it depends, right? Because, you know, Steve Kerr, tremendous job in switching up the defense. Right, coming down, you know, boxing one, coming down 2-3 zone. Like, every time, never letting Luka get comfortable so he can kind of dissect your team. And then, once again, I felt like I was watching Carmelo Anthony play, right? It was like iso ball. Everybody look at me with the ball and instead of – quit looking at me. Make a cut. Do something, son. Your guy come off. Roll to the basket. Trust that I'll find you.
I thought of you when he was at the free throw line and he had that cut across his face.
Yeah.
Right? He had that scratch. And you remember – what was Chris Tucker – all right, which one of y'all hit me?
Exactly.
Right? Because there was so many people coming at him that it could have been anybody. It ended up being Wiggins, who Andrew Wiggins had a really good game on both ends.
Yeah. He looks like he has a pimp nail. He looks like he's a guy that walks around with that long pinky nail. I used to ask, like, Dennis Thurman, who was my coach, and he's talking about, hey, man, you know, every once in a while he forget that we were in a new century, and he would walk around and have a long pinky nail. Like, listen, man, like, this ain't the old Superfly days where y'all put y'all a line of coke in y'all pinky nail and take a bump, son. Like, you can shave that down, B. You know what I'm saying? And then we looked at old pictures. He showed us pictures of, like, his guys. They used to have these chains back in the day.
Yeah.
They had, like, a little spoon on them. Like, yo. Like, he told me it was a little spoon in the inside. Like, golly, man. To be born in the 80s when you can just do coke all you want.
Well, no. You
life
be
of the
born
party.
In the 80s.
And,
you
want
to be born
no,
in
I mean,
the
70s. Yeah, in the 60s. Like, 60s.
So you could be in the 80s. You were in your 20s and 30s, right?
But 80s got crazy, right? Because in the 70s, all you had to do was get a shot of penicillin and you were good. So you can go crazy. In the 80s, everybody got a dose of reality. You know what I'm saying?
The real dose, yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, for Andrew Wiggins, I don't know about all that. But the dose of reality, I think, might be for the Mavericks. You know, if you look at it. Let's call this Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless. Because, it's, like, I agreed with you about the Celtics. in that game. So we have game two tonight, by the way. Full coverage on ESPN Radio. It begins at 8. The game at tips at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. That's a series where you're like, yeah, all right, Boston, like that second half, that third quarter was basically it, and they just seemed to run out of steam. But they didn't have Marcus Smart. They didn't have Al Horford. Now, they might have Marcus Smart today. In fact, I think he's a game-time decision. He's going to try to warm up.
Why not Al Horford, man?
Well, Horford's still in the health and safety protocol.
How? Nick Saban had triple COVID.
There's a protocol that the league has in place that he has to pass a certain amount of tests within a time frame. So he's working on it because he said he feels fine. So they'll see. I don't think he's available, but they'll see how he tests out. But that's – so, you know, it'll be a different game tonight, my opinion. But what I saw last night – and by the way, I was on the coverage last night at ESPN Radio. I know
you
heard it.
Actually, absolutely.
Pre and post game and the halftime.
Well, I didn't make it to post, man.
Yo, my head is still spinning, by the way. Like that – like Kevin Winter is like – I sat down and watched him do the game one of the East, and then I did last night's game. And I'm like – like – it's like sitting next to Mike Greenberg and going like, how the hell do you do that so smoothly? Like, you make it look so easy, you know, and it's not. I'm telling you, it is hard. Like, it sounds easy. It's not. My head was spinning that whole game. But anyways, watching that game, though, as dialed in as I was because I was part of the coverage, I just kept thinking to myself, like, man, there's two ways this could go. I first thought I sold it as, you know, Luka's 2007 LeBron moment, where he's dragging a team of role players with him to the finals just because he's so good, or it's just another, you know, one of these, you know, that team like Trae Young last year with the Hawks. They got to the conference finals. You're like, how the hell they do that, right? And then they get there and they play the Bucks, and you're like, yeah, no,
like, oh yeah,
right? Like quick work. So I don't know if it's either is it Trae Young's Hawks or is it LeBron's Cavs in 07. But as I watched Luka and I watched that the way the Warriors played and just how comfortable they looked, even without, like, Klay did nothing offensively. They did a lot, but zero at the half. Steph didn't really get it going until late in the half, and yet they were just comfortably ahead. I'm like, man, I don't know if this is going to be a very competitive series.
Well, you know what Jason Kidd is going to say. Man, we got not good shots, but great shots. And, I mean, we couldn't hit the side of the ocean if we was in a canoe.
They were horrible from three.
And you talk about
11 of 48, I believe it was.
And they're the best three-point shooting team left in the postseason, I believe, at like 39%.
Well, they take a lot. Yeah, and they do. Yeah, they shoot a good percentage, but they take a ton of threes, and they certainly did in this game.
And sometimes they go and sometimes they don't. And today was one of those – yesterday was one of those days that they just didn't go. So I think that Jason Kidd, he's going to play the Jedi mind tricks and say, listen, guys, we got what we wanted. We got the shots that we needed. Now, listen, now this is what they're doing. If they go in boxing one, they're going to have automatics now. Once they see that boxing one, they see everything, they're going to figure it out that way. I think they'll make the adjustment. Luka's too damn good. He didn't look good at all.
He looked terrible.
Yeah.
His body language looked bad. He was grabbing his right shoulder.
He looked like Kylo
Ren.
He's been doing that for a couple of years, man. Like, he always got the kinesiology tape
on his face.
You know, he got the kinesiology tape on his shoulder all the time. That's the first time he didn't have it. So I wonder, like, if it's something that they need to go in there. You know, a lot of times we have, like, small little injuries and we say, no, we're fine. We don't want to have the surgery. But this is, like, the second postseason I remember with something wrong with his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Jason Kidd making adjustments, of course, and seeing what he saw that the Warriors threw at them in game one. Let's take a listen to Jason Kidd after the game last night about what the Warriors did defensively in that game last night.
Yeah, they did a really good job. Wiggins picking them up full court. They were, you know, boxing one. They went zone. But they did a good job. You got to give them credit. Wiggins did a really good job. We understood coming into the series that we were going to see that. We'll go back and look at the video and see what we can do better.
All right, so that's that side of it. How about on the Warriors side of things? Here's Steve Kerr talking about Andrew Wiggins was the one they employed in this game against Luka Doncic.
I thought Wiggs was fantastic. Doncic is as difficult a cover as there is in this league, and we just asked Wiggs to, you know, to try to hound him and, you know, guard him as best as he could, stay in front, and try to keep the pressure on him. And he did a fantastic job. So Wiggs is just a huge part of our defense and our team. I thought he was great offensively as well. So great night for Andrew.
What they won't say, Bart,
yeah,
is that they made Luka play defense too.
Exactly. I mean, I think they shot 59% when he was defending them. You know, so that was a big thing. It was crazy, right? I'm thinking Wiggins too skinny for him. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Luka,
he's fast,
like,
though.
Yeah, but, you know, he's long and he's athletic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was watching the game, you know, I don't understand it. I know basketball on a certain level. I don't know it like I know football. I'm like, why the hell are they forcing him left? He loves to go left. And they were forcing him left because they had eyes on him, right? And you never knew who they were helping off of. And, you know, I was watching Get Up this morning and listened to some of the basketball experts talk about, you know, how they were sagging off. And it just mm-hmm. reminded me of football, right? When we got a zone or we got
some type
of bracket, we got a bracket system on a guy, you know, inside, outside, depending on where he is with the ball. And I could see, like, how they were just on a string. But I also noticed that his guys were just watching him. Like, you got to join the party. And what happened is, you know, Jalen Brunson is great in breaking out of defense and shooting inside the three-point line. But, you know, when he wasn't hitting his outside shots, he got gun-shy a little bit. And Fitty Smith as well. And, you know, Bullock, you know, wasn't – I mean, talk about some clean, wide-open shots. You know what I mean?
They missed threes they normally make. There's that. I do think that Kevon Looney was terrific inside. His rebounding.
I didn't realize he was that big. Like,
yeah, he's got some size, but also just that paint. They you say bracketed. That's a perfect way to describe it. In the NFL, they talk about bracketing. I think that's what they did. Two on the high post, two on the block.
Yep.
Bracket that paint and say, you're going to have to beat us from the outside. Like, we'll live with that. We're going to guess that most of you guys can't do that.
And it runs the three-point line.
Yeah, and it worked certainly for one night. All right, that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. The number's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for your calls. Coming up, by the way, as I mentioned, October 8th now suddenly becomes a huge date on the sports calendar. And as Hamlet, as it was once said in Hamlet, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. Something going on in college football that we need to address coming up after Bart tells us about O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. Oh. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com. It's just a few clicks away. Mm-hmm. They order convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your order quickly at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAutoParts.com today. Ooh, who gonna clap back?
Oh, you have no idea.
Back on the wall.
Were you not paying attention?
Yo, this is funny, though. Yeah.
You know this story.
Yeah. Hater in the house.
Yeah, lots of hate going on here. So This is not a college football story, everybody. This is a sports story, and this is also just something that's red hot happening literally as we speak. It's been going on this morning. It started yesterday, and it just continues. Nick Saban, and look, we've seen it. In the college sports landscape, name, image, likeness has changed everything. It's changed recruiting. It's the portal. Everything has changed because of this new era that we're living in. And we all celebrate it. Athletes, student athletes that can get some, right? Like that's what it should be, because for many, many years, you played for free and these college coaches made money hand over fist while you couldn't get a hamburger without it becoming like a violation, right? So take a listen to Nick Saban, who just decided that it was time for him to rant about how the recruiting landscape has changed for Alabama because they can no longer get all the best players. He explains why.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
Sound like an excuse?
Yeah, it sounds like an excuse. Sounds like a team that's been getting transferred from the transfer portal.
Yep.
Always got veteran players, guys that were playing and starters at other places coming there for 1 year to finish out. So, like, listen, you sound like the boy that cried wolf. Like,
well,
out.
No, that's what
really,
I mean.
Really, Nick Saban, like, you're full of crap. Let's talk about the legal payments that you've probably been playing players for I don't know how long. Like, get the hell out of here.
Now, hold that thought, because there's more. As I mentioned, this is why I thought of Hamlet right away. The lady doth protest too much, methinks, because for Nick Saban to bring this up. It just shows you this has been weighing on his mind, and he felt like it was time to talk about it because he sees where things are going. But you see, he called out A&M, meaning Texas A&M, who, right, by the way, that's who Alabama hosts on October 8th. Well, you know who the head coach of Texas A&M is. It's Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, wasn't he on the staff back in the day?
And he decided that I'm going to need to hold an emergency press conference, which he did an hour ago, and he went off on Nick Saban. Take a listen.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Mm. Shots.
Clap back, son.
Yes.
Dylon, Dylon, Dylon. Like, no. I need the research. I need ESPN researchers and investigators to go down there and get the off-the-record information so they can go do some on-the-record digging about Nick Saban. Because we usually find out about these great guys that they've been doing dirty politics and dirty stuff behind the scenes, and it always takes, right? Remember, when Bill Belichick was talking that stuff, and he tried to put that same stuff on Eric Mangini, and Eric Mangini's like, yo, you know I know what you do, and you just gonna do it on me? Nah, I'm telling everybody now, son, because you broke the code. So I'm telling you, if you want Jimbo to break the code and the other guys that have been there to break the code, man, oh, man, can we get that 30 for 30 on the empire that was built on dirty politics? So basically, well, didn't Bryce Young get a huge NIL deal? Don't that dude, as a freshman? Like, so basically Nick Saban's telling the local businessman, get your pocketbooks out. We got to start competing, when before we had little envelopes, and now we got to go with super big envelopes, because guess what? Texas A&M is in our division now, and they used to have all the money in the Big 12, but they got more money and more alumni because they got that oil money. So we got to kick it up a notch, man. Yeah. Stop it. Cry me a river, Nick Saban. You think somebody's gonna be sorry? Feel sorry for you?
This is a huge.
Sound like a shot at Deion Sanders too.
Yo, I tell you what, Paul Feinbaum, who's a good friend of our show, of course, as you know, he explains it perfectly why Nick Saban made these comments, and he did so on Get Up earlier this morning. Take a listen.
Well, I think he's very worried. Let's remember a couple of things. He lost to Jimbo Fisher last year in College Station, first time he had ever lost to one of his assistants. He lost a national championship game to another assistant. And now you have a new force in recruiting. And some people will say, well, Alabama has everything going for them. They do. They put more players through the pros. They do this. They do that. However, they do not have as deep a pockets to buy players as Texas A&M. Texas A&M is an oil-rich state. Alabama is not. And I think that's really what really concerns Saban here. These new collectives, which are way too complicated to explain in a short period of time, are giving boosters the right to go out and bring players in, even though it's technically against the NCAA rules. But Ryan, guess what? There's no such thing as NCAA rules anymore. It's the wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. The NCAA really doesn't care, despite what they say. So if you want to cheat, it's open season.
Cheat, though, is the word that he brings up. Now, another quote from Jimbo that I just wanted to tell you, because I know you like this kind of stuff, is that Jimbo said that he doesn't cheat and he doesn't lie. And he said, as a kid, he learned he'd get slapped if he did. And he added, maybe somebody should have slapped him, meaning Saban.
Because he lies.
Now you know why I said October 8th.
Yeah, let's get that 30 for 30. Ain't going to be no handshaking. Right. Might be a Will
you know
Smith.
What I want?
Might be a Will Smith smack.
I want the
UFC. Who's Will Smith? Who's Will Smith?
Out of these, yeah. I want what you know what ESPN does for the, what do they call that, when you know there's a big UFC fight coming?
Oh, yeah, the 24 says like the 24/7 countdown.
Yo, kind of need that for this now, right? But that's what's happening in college. What it's being torn apart.
But that's how you get
Coach K walked away from this? Coach K walked away. Why do you think Jay Wright walked away from this? Because he just sees it.
It's
He's
parity.
I can't. Like you're in Tuscaloosa. You got to now. You know how church every
Miami,
now and then on a Sunday.
Baby.
At church, when they go, like, you know, you see the roof, we got roof issues.
Yeah, roof.
We're going to pass the plate around
fun.
A second time around for the roof, right? Like, there's always something. I'm telling you, there's a reason why some of these coaches who have dominated the sport are either getting out or they're definitely complaining about the what now the landscape looks like. It is basically wild, wild west.
But they're complaining, Alan, because they had the advantage. That's the issue. They used to have the advantage because they were putting guys in the pros. So you talk about the transfer portal. The transfer portal only benefited the Power Five Because all the good players, even though they were good players or backup somewhere else, they transferred there.
How many guys were third string and stayed there for 2 years and waited their turn at Alabama? They don't have to do that anymore.
Yes, because most of the guys are from the transport
portal. Remember what Kayvon Thibodeau told us, why he didn't go to Alabama.
Exactly.
Right, why he went to Oregon.
Now look at Oregon. What can Nike do for you now? NIL deals.
That relationship there, like this.
But what can they do for you now? What can Oregon do to get the best players?
Yeah.
If Phil Knight want to open that pocketbook up.
Man, so we
that, if Matthew like McConaughey want to write a story, if somebody want to be an actor, he can say, I'm going to write a series for you on Netflix. No, that ain't going to work.
Listen, that's why we brought this up. This was happening, literally just red hot happening as we were getting ready for the show. We're like, well, we got to talk about this because this is a huge story.
Yeah. Cry me a river, Nick Saban.
A guy like Nick Saban, the success that he is, suddenly making it clear, like, I don't think I can sustain this anymore. The empire that is Alabama might be no more, and it might be because of the way things have changed in the sport of college football, just like in college basketball, where you have Coach K saying, I cannot do this anymore.
Can we ask the people, is NIL deals great for the competitive balance? Not the competitive balance, but to add more balance.
Just a simple question.
Yeah.
Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. Who is right? Which is better? Yeah. Is this good for
I think it's good for college sports.
Or not?
Because
the,
guess
the
what?
Ability to pay players and what we're seeing it happen.
Because the athlete
good
wins.
Or bad. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll let you weigh in on this. Also getting back to the NBA playoffs because we have the latest from the Celtics. Updates on Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and more as they prepare for Game 2 tonight. How close are they to getting Marcus Smart back? And how close are they to getting even in this series? A lot to get to. We'll continue with you next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
The underdogs on top.
That's who we are.
Who's the underdog?
We are. No, we're the underdogs.
Oh, we're the underdogs. Let's do it.
We are the underdogs. We got a little announcement for the 2v2 to make a little bit later on in the show. It's Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
Have the Celtics become the underdog?
No. You know what? Let's find out.
Or the overdog.
We have game two tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN is the tip-off. 8 o'clock is where your coverage begins on ESPN Radio. The Celtics and the Heat, game two. The Heat won game one, but Bart Scott feels like, despite the loss, he does favor the Celtics. Let's go to Let's go to South Beach, talk with Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston Celtics reporter covering the series. Chris, how you doing?
What's going on, y'all?
So, Bart had a theory before we get into, I guess, the latest on the injuries. He felt like despite the loss, he sees the length of the Celtics being the biggest difference in the series, and that that's going to be a problem for the Heat. When you look at the analysis of this matchup, do you see it that way?
Yeah, I would say this. So the Celtics for the first half looked very much like the team we'd seen through much of the first two rounds, and certainly their depth was accentuated. And when Jason Tatum plays like that and is the best player on the floor, you can sort of see why maybe the odds were in their favor coming into this series. But the one thing that I've always kind of wondered watching this team all year is how they would respond sort of to physicality. They've had sometimes they go the other way when things go up a notch, and we certainly saw that in the second half of that game. And then there's just Jimmy Butler, who's like the ultimate closer. And the Celtics are still, as much as even as these young guys have been in such so many playoff games, they're still kind of figuring out how to win games. And so that's the big thing to me. I think the Celtics have the more talent, the sort of that, just like you said, the length and the ability to cause problems with their roster. And yet you still got to go out there and do it, and you got to do it for 48 minutes. So I'm eager to see. They've responded well each time they've had a loss in this postseason. Can they do it again in what already feels like almost a must-win game?
Yeah, and then also with they have to do it with some people not available. Can you give us the latest, as we're talking with Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston Celtics reporter, can you give us the latest on Marcus Smart's availability, Al Horford, and now it sounds like another player is going to be out for game two?
Yes. So Derek White flew back home. He's having a baby, and so the Celtics policy has always been, you know, that there's things more important than basketball. I know. Like, look, we you can have that debate, but the Celtics, I would say, in general.
Bart must disagree.
You should hear Boston Sports Radio. I'm sure they're in the lather as well.
Live stream it to yourself.
And so they will not have him tonight. I actually kind of wonder if his mind was somewhere else the other night. He didn't have one of his best games. Mm-hmm. Al Horford remains in the health and safety protocols. The Celtics are operating as if they will not have him, and it's very uncertain just like when he will be able to clear that protocol. And then with Marcus Smart, he was listed as probable. I would say it's very likely that he plays tonight. I think they tried to give him a couple extra days by sitting him out in game one with the midfoot sprain. I think they're eager to get him back out there, particularly with the task of defending Jimmy Butler.
Now, you guys listen to a lot of, you know, the interviews, but also just locally the shoot-arounds and stuff like that. You know, what's the vibe and the feeling of how it all went wrong in Boston, and what are the players saying? Because a lot of times the players give you an indication of really what Udoka is thinking about. Because they usually mimic or pair – the best teams usually are parrots to what the coach says internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the mimicking their coach, they're frustrated with themselves that one really disastrous third quarter took away a lot of good that they did, and that they didn't respond well in that instance where, you know, if they just catch themselves a little bit quicker, you know, maybe you don't fall behind by 12 or 14 or let it get to 20 as it did later in that second half. So, you know, they got to be tougher. He's never been bashful this year and called out Jason and Jalen in the aftermath and said, look, it doesn't matter who you got out there, got to be better. And you got to lean on your superstars in that instance. Tatum with the 6 turnovers in the third quarter, you know, that's not acceptable. And 3 and 33 seconds as it really snowballed, like he's just got to be better. He's evolved as a playmaker, but especially when you don't have Marcus Smart, when you don't have Al Horford facilitating in the high post, you've got to find other ways to create. And Jason's just going to be better in those spots, but Jalen Brown too. So I'm eager. I think those two have additional motivation to sort of respond tonight. And I think the Celtics, again, just as a whole, are frustrated. This is the second series in a row they've lost the first game. They nearly lost the first game against Brooklyn if it wasn't for that late layup. And you put yourself in a tough spot where you got to kind of swing right back, even though you're on the road. And so they've responded well. I don't think they've lost two games in a row with healthy starters since maybe January, mid-January. So a chance to do it again and show that they're not – that the effort the other night, especially in the third quarter, was not acceptable.
Yeah, and really all that what it was is just the third quarter that was just an abomination, and that decided the game, and, you know, we shall see. But, again, without their full roster, a much different-looking team, they're going to need other people to step up. Chris, we appreciate the time and the info. All the best.
Thank you all. Take care.
All right, you got it. Chris Forsberg again, NBC Sports Celtics reporter. And – Bart, you don't think that Derek White should be allowed to take a game off? Can you imagine the calls
game
right
off?
Now
this is not a practice,
up in Boston
a
about
game
this?
Off? Like, are you serious, son?
Well, what if she had the baby, like, or having the baby today? Like,
listen.
No?
Bro, anybody knows that's ever, I don't know if this is his first child. Man, yeah. You can mess around, that baby don't even come.
Until, you got Skype, don't you? You got Skype? Put her on Skype.
Unless they have to induce the baby because the baby has to come out. Bro, what are we talking about, son? You can be on a jet right after the game, right? Yo, most women go into labor. I remember the first time I had a baby. The thing was like, oh, I was like, oh man, yo, she her water broke. Okay, 14 hours later. You know what I'm saying? Like, true. yo, bro, like the true. Second time I had a kid, man, I was prepared. I had music. I went and got. I was like, hey, babe, I'll be back. And she couldn't eat nothing but ice chips. I went and got a steak. I was hungry. You know what I'm saying? She over there smelling my steak. She got so damn mad at me. But what do you want me to do? I want to be here.
He's 27 years old. It's his first child.
That's why he don't know. That's why he don't know. First of all, how are you going to be a professional athlete and his first kid is at 27? He's supposed to have his first one at 18.
What?
I'm just playing.
Yeah, I hope you're playing. I mean, the first one, you could definitely – you want to be there.
Bro.
It's like once you get like me, bro, like you get four in, you're like, yeah,
you know, I've seen it. Text me when you're crowning. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Text me when you're crowning. You know what I mean?
Man,
like,
it's
like, stop.
I can't believe the way you reacted to that. But he's right. Chris said, can you imagine the callers right now in Boston? I can only imagine what they're saying right now or what they will say if the Celtics go down 0-2 in this series. All right, again, the coverage begins ESPN Radio at 8 p.m. and the tip-off after 8:30 on ESPN TV as well. Coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So many of you want to weigh in on this Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, back and forth, a battle that we have going on right now in college football. But really, like I said, this is like a college sports story in general, not just a sports story. Like, this is one where everybody's reading this and following it, saying like, wow, things are really changing dramatically. More to get to, of course, but do want to tell you about Straight Talk, because cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Bart, actually, it feels great. You should try it.
Mm.
So you know what you should do? Cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot nationwide 5G in America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. It's really Nick Saban versus everybody. It's just Jimbo decided he was going to have a press conference to respond.
Well,
you know, Deion Sanders also responded.
Yeah, and they got a commercial together because Deion got Deion got the number one student, you know, this number one athlete. So, you know, that's what happens when you're on top and everything works in your favor with the rules, all the transfer portal. You're getting all the good players. And now you got to compete for him and actually go out there and work. Now you got an issue with it.
So Deion Sanders tweeted, "You best believe I will address the lie Coach Saban told. I was awakened by my son that sent me the article stating that we paid for Travis Hunter. We paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play at Jackson State. He said, we as a people don't have to pay our people to play with our people.
Ooh, he took it there, son.
Yeah, and then.
Oh, he took it to the brother man, not the other man.
And then, though, then.
Yeah, there ain't no more commercials. He retweeted.
No, there's more to this. He retweeted, and of course, now the internet's going really slow as I'm moving to the other tweet. Travis Hunter then tweets, he's the recruit, I got a mill, but my mom still stay in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids. And then Deion Sanders retweets it and says, I don't even make $1 million. Lewis
Meanwhile,
Riddick.
Meanwhile, you making $9 million.
Yeah. Lewis Riddick, of course, our NFL analyst for ESPN, he tweeted, it's going to be the most dramatic season in college football that we've ever seen. The gloves are off.
Where's Kurt Herbstreit when you need him? We need him to monitor, what do you call it? Yeah.
Moderate?
Yeah, moderate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big word.
I got you. Oh, mediate, I think you were looking for. October 8th is when Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher and company are at Alabama. That's in 142 days. And you know that's just going to be special. We got your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's see. A lot of people want to talk about this. Stan's in Texas. Stan, real quick.
Hey, real quick. Barton Hahn, love your show. I laugh out loud. Great wit. I have to say, though, the Boston Celtics allowance for dads to go and be with their families is incredible. And I think, man, I just think what a cool thing where Boston prioritizes family over sports.
No, let me tell you something. Technology has changed since. He could have got her induced yesterday. That's selfish. You can have the best of both worlds. I've had my kids induced. He could have got induced.
You do.
She could have got induced yesterday or the day before.
You got to put her on Skype. You got to beat it for your team. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. We got people that want to talk, Bart. Let's get some calls going here.
Let's do it.
Steve's in Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. I love the show. You guys are great together. Bart, thanks again for that can't wait gift. I use it constantly. That's gold. Thank you. Just want to talk about the college, whole NIL situation. I definitely believe players should be compensated completely, especially with the amount of money that is going around right now. But I must say that I do not like the new way. More a fan of the old way, although it was kind of under the table and shady. I do feel like it was better that way. I live in New York. I like to liken this new NIL thing to almost the gambling in New York. So if you lived in New York, I know, Bart, you're from the area, but if you're born and raised in New York, if you want to place a bet, you can find somebody to place a bet if you really want to, okay? Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but
no, but
I feel most people
Steve,
in my area.
Steve, that's how I felt all the time. Like when they were like, hey, sports betting's coming to New York. I'm like, I've grown up in New York. Sports betting's been going up in New York forever, right? Like, what do you mean? Like, now it's legal. Oh, okay. But it doesn't mean it hasn't been going on forever. But
yeah, we saw Bumpy Johnson, you know, man. We had the you know, we saw, Lucas, you know what I'm saying? Brand name, General Mills, you know what I'm saying? Had his slips on blue papers, huh?
Yeah, but it's the point is that I think what he's saying is sort of, he liked the fact that if you were going to get somebody under the table, you know, Blue Chips, the movie, like under the table you know, the duffel bag of money, all that, like that it was better, like, don't ask, don't tell, like, you know what I mean? Sight unseen, if it's going to happen, just let it happen.
No.
Was that better for college sports? No, it wasn't.
No. Because then what happens is Reggie Bush gets his Heisman taken away.
The athlete always ended up losing.
And now the athlete wins because now we have more people competing, and you talk about name, likeness, and all that type of stuff. You know, back in the day, look how much money. Like, why do you think they can afford to pay Nick Saban $10
million a year?
But you know
what this is going to turn into, though, Bart? This is the thing. If your college is in a major market or connected to a major corporation, it benefits you. But if you're in – you know, a lot of the SEC schools, they're not in these major places. Again, Alabama's a gigantic school. It's a powerful place. But it's not. It's in Tuscaloosa. You ever been there? I've been to Tuscaloosa several times. You know, it's not a lot going on there. You know, it's a big-time college town, and the whole town lives off of the college. So it's not like you have, and as you mentioned, like A&M, they got a lot of all.
You know what I'm saying?
Not all interest there.
And let about, well, Michigan should have.
Oh,
that
my
alumni,
God.
They should
yes.
be able to. We need to see Michigan
USC?
Step up.
I mean, come on, Keyshawn. Like, USC should dominate college football now.
Stanford, look at that endowment they got.
Yeah. Let's go to, phrasing there. Let's go to Charles in Ohio. Charles.
That's not what it's called?
Hey, you guys, the show is real dope. Everybody else says they love y'all. I'm just going to say y'all dope. That's just the way we're going to do it. But here's the thing. Nick Saban. He needs just to chill out. He's like that old dude that wants to complain about something every single time. Let these kids get paid, get paid for what they're doing. I mean, we might even get a new video game out of it. But for him to throw Deion under the bus and they do the whole Aflac thing together, man, I wouldn't be messing with Deion for real. But let these kids get, you know, let them get their little money that they deserve.
Because
if a kicker can make some money off the deal, why can't everybody else?
Yes, because Nick Saban has been eating better. And listen, it's because he's won championships. Well, why has he won those championships? Because he never has a young team.
He gets the best players.
He never has a young team.
Right.
He gets people from the transport portal. So he's found a way to rig the system so his university has a better chance of winning. And now he's mad because this is a game which he has the disadvantage in because he doesn't have the revenue and the resources that these other universities have because of location.
Demographic.
Like,
waiting to see if Deion Sanders is going to do anything now after Jimbo Fisher did. Deion did say on Twitter that he is going to address this. So really curious to see when he does this. Brian's in North Carolina. Brian, what's up?
Hey, Han Solo, wanted to see if you talked to Bart about my strategy from Tuesday on the switch to put him on key to frustrate him. I need to make sure you guys are strategizing.
Did you hear about this part? Did you hear that part of the show on Tuesday?
No. So put me on Keyshawn.
Just every now and then just to frustrate him.
Oh, yeah. Like, do I like roll my pants up real high, like lean on him and lay on him and stuff like that? Give him to Lance Stevens.
Yes. Literally blowing his ear.
Blowing his ear.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that I think people are looking for, to see you get Key so riled
up.
Get him out of his head.
Give him that Dennis Rodman stuff. Squeeze his anus.
Yeah. By the way, we'll have an announcement at 1:30 on the show regarding the 2v2 game. It's a great one. This is not like actually this is the reason why we're doing it. It's actually I'm pretty excited about this. So we have that part of the announcement. Roy is in Texas. Roy, what's up?
Hey y'all, listen. I lived in Tuscaloosa for 23 years. Mm. I got so sick and tired of Nick Saban beating everybody. I'm like, how in the world does this guy get all the good players? Yep. My son doesn't even like Alabama. And I waited for years for somebody to beat them. And finally, South Carolina did a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's about damn time because he's a damn crybaby. And now I realize how he did it. That's a bunch of crap. I hope they kick his butt.
Exactly. And I can't wait for the 30 for 30, man. I cannot wait for the 30 for 30 because now we know that it's a crack in the armor. And all the former assistants kept their mouths shut. But now Nick Saban broke the code because he named names. He named names. He said Texas. He pointed the finger. And talk about a sore loser. They beat you last year, so now you got an issue? Back after this.
Yes, back after this for sure. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.